I want to move on and talk a little bit about the issue of HER2-positive metastatic disease and the heart and how we deal with that as opposed to in the adjuvant setting. And Barbara, if you could present your patient.
This is a 52-year-old woman who works a night shift at the hospital as a nurse's aide. She presented in November 2002 with a palpable 4-centimeter mass in her left breast and palpable axillary lymph nodes. Her clinical stage was T2N1 infiltrating ductal carcinoma by biopsy. She was ER-negative, PR-negative, HER2-3-plus positive by immunoperoxidase. Her pretreatment MUGA skin was 60.2%. Because of scheduling problems over the Christmas holiday, she did not get her staging CT scan until after she had received her first dose of chemotherapy. And unfortunately, on her chest CT, there were multiple tiny pulmonary nodules that were suspicious for metastases, but they were less than 1 centimeter each. A PET scan was done, and that was negative, with the caveat that the size of the lesions may have been below the limits of detection for PET scan. She received Adriamycin and Cytoxan with Neulasta every 3 weeks and went into a clinical complete response after 5 cycles. She was awaiting surgery and received a 6th cycle and then underwent lumpectomy and axillary sampling. Her pathology at that time was a 1 centimeter residual tumor and 2 lymph nodes were positive. Her MUGA scan prior to further chemotherapy was 61%. Her CAT scan of the chest had normalized. After we talked with the patient, we then kind of switched tactics and treated her as metastatic disease and gave her Herceptin, a loading dose, 4 milligrams per kilogram. And the second day, we gave her Taxol, 80 milligrams per meter squared. And several hours after chemotherapy, the patient began to notice shortness of breath with progressive DOE. She completed her work on the night shift and waited around in the hospital till I came in the next morning and came to see me not feeling well. She was tachycardic at about 150. She had an S3 Gallop, but she had no Rawls. Cardiac echo showed 4-chamber dilated cardiomyopathy, and her ejection fraction was less than 20%. She was admitted and responded excellently to medical management and was discharged within about 5 days and had gradual improvement in her symptoms over a 12-week period. However, shortly after that, she palpated a mass again in her left breast and at this time underwent mastectomy because we didn't want to fool around with radiation therapy. At that time, she had residual disease in the breast measuring 2.4 centimeters. 7 lymph nodes were removed and were negative. Her restaging CT scans were negative. We then gave her 4 cycles of Taxotere and Neulasta, which was complicated by fatigue, but no deterioration in her cardiac function. 7 months after she completed her adjuvant treatment, she developed sternal tenderness, and a PET scan showed recurrence in the mediastinum and sternum. This was not well seen on CAT scan, but it was abnormal on CAT scan. We repeated her echo, which showed a 40 to 45% ejection fraction, and we consulted with cardiology and decided to try Herceptin for 3 weekly doses as a single agent. Her echo was stable for the 1st cycle of Herceptin alone, and then we added Navalbine to the 2nd cycle. Her echo was slightly decreased, but not clearly measurably decreased, and so we went ahead with a 3rd cycle, combining Navalbine and Herceptin, and at that point there was a decline in her ejection fraction of about 10% by echo. The Herceptin was discontinued, and she's remained on Navalbine. She's now had 22 cycles. She's in remission, although her CAT scan of the mediastinum is not normal. Recently, we started to talk about using lapatinib, and I repeated the patient's MUGA scan, and this showed an ejection fraction of 30%. I called her cardiologist, who repeated the echo in his office, and said it's a difference in technique, and he thinks her ejection fraction is unchanged by echo and is still in the 40 to 45% range. Why don't I stop there?